Need to Know.
Welcome to Need to Know this afternoon with me, Janice, here, right here on 938 Live. This afternoon, we have three ladies in the studio with us, and they are Ms. Chi Pin Lei, Sophie Koh, and Lynette Lim. And Lynette is the head of communications at World Vision Singapore, and Sophie and Pin Lei are both sponsors of World Vision programs. And we're here to talk to you about World Vision Child Sponsorship Program this afternoon on Need to Know. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi.
All right. So it's really interesting stories. You know, the background that I got from Pin Lei and from Sophie. You two have, you've sponsored children for quite some time now. And I want to hear about some of the stories and experiences that you've encountered, and especially for Sophie. You, by yourself, sponsored a health clinic in Ethiopia. So we want to hear what that's been like. But let's start with Pin Lei first. You know, what does sponsoring a child mean to you, and what does it involve for you?
Sponsoring a child actually to me was quite an abstract concept at first. I didn't really quite understand that because there's adoption and so on.
Right. Do you have children yourself?
No, I don't have children.
Okay. Yeah, please continue.
Yeah. So basically, I think I saw this fantastic 15-year plan by James, which is the ED of World Vision, and he was sharing with us, right, how they have various aspects of this child sponsorship. And I think after being on three trips with World Vision, I find that I finally understood it a little bit better.
So you've been on three trips. Tell us about your trips. And you are currently sponsoring a child in Cambodia and Zambia as well, aren't you?
Yeah, two children.
Okay,
yes,
so tell us about your trips. Where have you been?
Okay, I've been to Cambodia twice, and also once to Tianjin in China.
And what did you do there?
Okay, for the child sponsorship, what I did was I went to see my sponsored child. Yeah, and the first thing she saw me was she actually puked.
Yeah. And she threw up.
Yeah, she actually threw up, you know.
Okay, how old was the child when you visited her?
She was 6 years old.
Okay, and how long have you been sponsoring her since then?
I've been sponsoring since 2009.
Okay, so when you saw her, she was six. And you started sponsoring her, and she was still six years old at the time.
When I met her, she was 6 years old.
Okay.
She was about to start school.
And how long have you been sponsoring her before you met her?
I think probably 1 year.
Why did she throw up? What did you do?
Okay. Yeah. It's not because I'm super ugly or repulsive. But it's because of the fact that it was the first time for her to take a 2-hour journey to meet me. So that was something that blew my mind. And,
I see. So how come the child had to travel to meet you rather than you go to the child?
Okay, because there are different different communities, basically World Vision sponsored. So the company I was visiting was actually 2 hours away from where she was staying. She has to travel with her family to meet me.
Tell us about the meeting. You know, I'm sure you've seen her in photographs, progress reports. Yes. To the final actual meeting, I mean, was there anticipation? Were you excited? And how did the actual meeting go?
Actually, I was afraid that I'll be like very tearful because, you know, it's so emotional. Yes. But actually, it was a very joyful experience. So it was really good and heartwarming. And I really believe this sponsorship thing works because she was with her natural parents. And it was a reunion of sorts with a few of us, three of us who were there. And we just had a simple meal with them, where we present some simple gifts, and the parents actually ate a meal with us and thanked us.
Right. What circumstances was she in that required sponsorship?
I guess the selection criteria was decided by World Vision, which Lynette will probably be able to tell you more. So basically what happens is that for me, I just chose Cambodia because it was nearby.
Right.
And it makes sense for me in case I need to fly there.
Oh, I see. You know? Okay. Yeah. What about your experiences with the other trips?
Okay, for Tianjin POP, it was to help do some English teaching for this group of children who are orphans. They are special needs children, and some of them need help 24/7.
Right, okay. Yeah. And tell us about your current sponsorship programs in Zambia now. You're sponsoring a child in Zambia?
Yeah, I think the sponsorship programs are different for different, they call it ADP.
What is an ADP?
Area Development Program.
Okay.
Yeah, which actually World Vision actually spends about 1-2 years to find out with the locals what are the needed things, whether it's water, you know, it's orphanages, it's street transformation and so on.
Right.
So Zambia I've not visited yet. Yeah, so I just sponsored a child after my Cambodia trip because I saw the good work that's done by World Vision.
Okay. What do you know about the child in Zambia?
He's a boy and he's 7 years old.
Okay.
And usually we get an annual report.
Okay.
And I chose him because basically, actually I didn't choose him. I just asked him to assign anybody that is suitable.
I see, okay. Yeah. So this choosing, assigning, Lynette, you know, how does the whole child sponsorship process work?
Okay, the child sponsorship program is actually based on a community development model where World Vision partners with the community in need to help them gain the knowledge, the tools and the resources in order for them to become self-sufficient through a period of about 10 to 15 years. So, World Vision, we have offices in close to 100 countries. So what happens is that, for example, like the project that Pinlay is supporting in Cambodia. So what happens way before we start our development work is that because we have offices in that country, so World Vision only reaches out to communities that does not have access to basic social services. You know, so they must meet some certain poverty indicators for us to determine that these communities are really the poorest of the poor. So what we do after we have determined all of these is that we will go out to the community to talk to the village leaders and to find out from them exactly what are the needs that's prevalent in that place. So we will look at the pressing needs, and then there will be plans and baseline surveys that will be done to determine which are the needs that we need to first meet. And then through a period of 10 to 15 years, we will be able to ensure that every child and family in this community will be able to become self-reliant.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
We're chatting with Lynette Lim, Head of Communications at World Vision Singapore. Sophie Koh, Singaporean, who's sponsored two kids, in one in Mongolia, one in Myanmar, and she's a sponsor with World Vision since 2005. And also Chi Pin Lay, she has started her own journey with World Vision back in 2009. Stay with us on Need to Know. We'll continue this conversation in just a short while.
Need to Know.
Welcome back to Need to Know on 938 Live this afternoon with me, Janice. Here I'm chatting with ladies from World Vision 2 who've been sponsoring in their programs for a couple of years now. And also we have Lynette Lim, Head of Communications at World Vision Singapore. They're here with us this afternoon to talk to us more about their child sponsorship program. So Lynette, let's continue our conversation from earlier. Yep. You were just starting to get into the process of how these people and communities are selected. So what about the children themselves? Because World Vision is always associated with children and sponsoring this child in very remote communities. How are these individuals selected?
Okay, so after we have identified needy communities, so World Vision will actually go in and talk to the village leaders, and then there will be committees that will be formed at their level so that they will also be part of this entire process. So it's not just them as a beneficiary receiving all the help. Because we see, and one of the great things about this community development work that we do is that it's a partnering work between mm-hmm. World Vision and also the needy at the communities where they live.
Mm-hmm.
So when all these things are being determined, the needs and the plans are crafted out, so we will also speak to the different families to help them to understand what it means when World Vision comes into the community to help them.
So what does it mean for the family?
Okay, so we will help them to understand that these are the different needs that they are currently facing, and then and very
what sort
quickly,
of needs, for example, are okay. we talking meals, food, water, shelter? What sort of
right.
needs are we talking about?
Right. So the development work is actually based on the five tenets. So, for example, we will, as part of our development outreach, we will definitely provide these children and families with access to food, food security, to clean water, to basic health care, to education, and also livelihood support.
Okay.
But I must say that the child sponsorship program is actually much more than these.
Mm.
It's not just about providing the children with access to all these things. Mm. It is not feeding a child when a child is hungry, because that is not tackling the root causes of poverty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so through the child sponsorship program, based on the community development model, we actually go out to empower the communities to realize their potential and to build their capacity so that they can help themselves in future.
Right.
So it's not just about giving money, $45 every month,
to sponsor a child. But it is actually more than that, because the money that you actually contribute every month, you will know where it eventually leads to.
Mm.
Because like I mentioned earlier, within a period of 10 to 15 years, you will be able to, you will be definitely assured that all these financial support that you have been giving, it will enable the child and the family to become self-supporting.
So, Pin Lei, has that been your experience? Do you get progress reports of your the children that you're sponsoring? What is on that report that you see?
Okay, it's an annual report that we get where they show the child, you know, in their own handwriting, what are some of the things they can actually draw a flower for you, a ball for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the real experience for me was when I went down to the ground and I see firsthand how this money was used and how impactful that was.
I see. Okay.
Yeah,
so it's not just about $45 a month, not just about food. It's a more holistic way of distributing the donation.
Yes.
And you and the support that you give will eventually help the child and the family to break out of the vicious cycle of poverty. So it's very powerful. It's not like you give and not know where the money is going to.
Okay.
It will eventually result in something that is really incredible and self-sustaining.
So how long do these sponsorship last for?
It's about 15 years. And actually, I like the idea that the locals actually took over. For example, we saw the Cambodians actually having ownership of the toilet project, for example. And, you know, after 15 years, World Vision actually withdrew. So it is not a kind of a once-off.
Right.
You actually get a whole community involved. And I was at this place where they were teaching art. There was this local art teacher teaching, and he was passing his skills to the junior, and then from then they will take over when the project, you know, funds are up and all these things. So I think that's what I saw as a beautiful part about being involved in the World Vision. When you go to the ground, you see that it's not just about the $45; it's about a whole community being up and ready and able to sustain on their own.
So how old is the child in Cambodia now, the one that you've been sponsoring?
She's 7. Yeah.
Oh, she's 7 years. Okay.
A picture of her watering a chili plant.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I actually put it on my blog. You know,
right.
She's like grown already. You know?
Right, right.
And her age was 1 year. You know?
I see. And you will continue sponsoring this child for the next 14, 15 years?
Yes.
Is that the commitment that you seek from your contributors and donors, Lynette?
Of course, it is not like a contractual agreement. You're not obliged, I must say, to stay that long. But I would say that we are very encouraged that most people who start sponsoring a child, they don't actually want to leave. They don't actually want to give up halfway,
right,
because they want to see it to fruition. They want to see how their child eventually becomes self-supporting.
Yeah. How do you assign a donor or contributor to the child or vice versa?
Okay, there's actually two ways. As child sponsors, you can either choose the child that you want to sponsor. So we'll give you like photos and some basic biodata of children who are awaiting sponsorship. Or there are some sponsors, like even like what Pin Lei said earlier, her Zambian child, she really doesn't want to choose. Yeah, she just leave it to the World Vision staff to assign.
Right.
Actually, you can get it from the Tree of Life as well.
Okay.
For my case, I went shopping there, saw the Tree of Life.
Right.
And
the Tree of Life is something we'll be chatting in a short while. But I just want to get another question in before we wrap up this segment. You mentioned earlier that World Vision is really about the entire community, you know, lifting the community out of poverty, enabling them and giving them their own capacity so that they can break out of the cycle.
Yes.
Is there in any way, because, you know, the association is so strong that when we see a child, we associate it, child sponsorship, we associate with World Vision, that in some ways these children are sort of like the spokesperson, the branding of the organization, that the children is a way to engage contributors and donors. Otherwise, sometimes, you know, when talking about community building, it can be a very abstract concept. So in some ways the child is you're tugging at heartstrings here. Is that something conscious that World Vision has been doing?
I wouldn't really say that, but more so that because children is really at the heart of the work that we do, and also we recognize that if we want to help communities, people break out of poverty, it needs to start young.
Mm.
Like we recognize very quickly that education is really one of the main keys to helping people break out of the cycle of poverty. So we want to help children when they are young. You know, and when you sponsor a child, you don't just help the child. It's not just the child and the family that benefits, because it's a community development work. So the entire village, the place where the child lives, also thrives. And it's only when the environment is changed, that's when children, families, that they can grow and become self-reliant.
Right, okay. Yeah. Thanks very much for that, Lynette. And that was Lynette Lim, Head of Communications at World Vision Singapore. We also have with us in the studio Sophie Singaporean, who's been a World Vision Child Sponsor since 2005, and also Chi Pin Lei, who's also been a World Vision Child Sponsor since 2009. Stay with us on Need to Know on 938 Live. You're listening to Need to Know on 938 Live this afternoon with me, Janice Teo, and we're talking about World Vision Child Sponsorship Program, and we're chatting with Lynette Lim, Head of Communications at World Vision Singapore, also Chi Pin Lei, who's been a World Vision Child Sponsor since 2009. Now we're chatting with Sophie Koh, who's also a Singaporean, and she's been a World Vision Child Sponsor of two kids, one in Mongolia and one in Myanmar, since 2005. But the thing about her is that the most fantastic thing is that she is the sole sponsor of an entire health clinic in Ethiopia. Sophie, tell us your story. You know, how did you get to sponsor an entire health clinic in Ethiopia? First of all, where is Ethiopia?
Okay, actually it's in Africa area. Okay, because actually since young, I read a lot about Africa's the problem down there, the children's. Okay, I look at the pictures of all those kids. Okay, so it actually have a very huge impressions over me. And I still remember last year I received a catalog from World Visions, okay, asking for donations. Okay, some of them they state down there is life savings and things like that. Then I just happened to flick to the sections about this health center. Okay, it really catch my eyes, okay, because of the statements written down there. Okay, written that this just imagine, okay, there's somebody that is ill, okay, that you have to walk, okay, 50 to 60 kilometers just to find a doctor, okay, and
we can't imagine.
Yeah,
it, can
I just
we?
Cannot
yeah.
imagine. I mean, in Singapore,
our GPs are all downstairs.
Yes. 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 So it just right. come to my mind. Just imagine, what if the person that is sick is not only the kids. Okay, let's say it's the mother or it's the father, and it just cannot get the treatment in time. Okay, and just something happened to the father or mother. I think it's not the kid's problem, it's the entire family problems. Okay, so this particular message really struck me, you see. Okay, that
it called out to you at that particular time.
Yes.
Right,
yes,
okay. And how much did you donate for that health clinic?
Is 72,000.
72,000.
Yeah.
That's an entire life saving for some people. My goodness. How did you get 72,000 in the first place?
Okay. I did fight total. Okay. It's actually part of my saving. Okay. I spoke to my mom. Actually, my mom was quite worried about that. She said,
"Yeah.
Are you sure you want to donate 72,000? It's a lot of money."
Is the health clinic in your name?
No. No. It's not at all.
That. Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's not at all.
Sophie Koh Health Clinic, no?
No.
My goodness.
That's not important, okay?
Okay.
No, that's not important at all.
Right.
Okay. Because that moment that comes to my mind is that how can I help these people? See? Because I just cannot imagine. Mm. And the particular village that they are talking about, okay, it's so far away from the city. Mm. Okay, it's actually 4 times the width of Singapore distance.
Yes.
Okay, from the city
yes.
of Ethiopia.
Right.
Okay, so you just imagine how they could travel to
right.
the cities or if it's something that's more serious and things like that. You see.
How big is the health clinic?
Okay, it's not really big. Okay, it comes with the main clinic buildings. Okay, with all the equipment that's inside there. There's this maternity area, okay, for the women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and equipped with the water tank. Okay, the basic thing, the water tank. Toilet as well. Toilet is very rare.
Right.
Okay, over there, okay, the incinerator.
Yeah.
Okay, things like
How
that.
How many health professionals work in that health clinic?
Okay, at all 24/7, there will always be one person, okay, there, okay, look after the clinic, because you don't know when anybody is going to fall sick.
Right.
Okay, and you're not able to go to like Singapore. Okay?
It's not open 9 to 5, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
okay,
or you
yeah,
can get
absolutely.
To a hospital. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You just imagine if, let's say, there's a woman who needs to deliver a kid.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the road. Okay, I heard from one of my friends that actually traveled to Ethiopia to look at the clinic. They said the route is terrible. Okay, there's no lambs, blah blah blah, all those things. Okay, just imagine how is the woman going to if there's a car. Okay, at least you can still travel to the city.
What is the typical journey time for any of these villages to reach to the clinic?
I think if you travel by car, it's at least 2 to 3 hours.
My goodness.
Yeah, if you don't have a car, just imagine.
Right.
There's no way that you're able to reach.
And
there.
How what is the population that it supports, this health clinic?
I think it's around
usually, typically in a community that we reach out to, it's about 50 to 100,000 people.
I see. Yeah. Okay, right. And you haven't visited your health clinic. Any plans to do that?
Okay, actually I plan to join them in the previous trip. Okay, but while I try to arrange for that, Blue Vision just told me that there's another projects that they need medical equipment for Sri Lanka.
I see.
So
okay.
I decide to donate the money to the Sri Lanka equipment, you see.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I think I want to do, I mean, I can go and visit the clinic anytime, or I can don't even visit the clinic because I know that World Vision is doing a good job.
Okay.
Okay, make sure that it's operating and things like that. Okay, the more important thing is that I prefer to use the money for other purposes.
I see. Rather than to pay for your trip to fly all the way there.
Yeah. I see.
My goodness. Such giving ladies. Okay. You're listening to Need to Know on this afternoon. We're chatting with World Vision, our child sponsors, and Lynette Lin, Head of Communications at World Vision Singapore. And we're chatting about the World Vision Child Sponsorship Program. More coming up next. Stay with us on Need to Know.
Need to Know.
You're listening to Need to Know on 938 Live this afternoon with me, Janice Teo. And with us in the studio is Lynette Lim, Head of Communications at World Vision Singapore, Sophie Koh, World Vision Child Sponsor, and also Chi Pin Lei, World Vision Child Sponsor. So it seems that there's this thing called the Life-Changing Gift Catalogue. It changed Sophie's life, and in some ways it touched Pin Lei as well. So Lynette, what is this Life-Changing Gift Catalogue?
Okay, this is our annual gift catalogue that we launch in the early part of November every year. So our shop, we call it a shopping catalogue, but what you see inside is actually very different, and you'll find many extraordinary gifts that you would not think of buying for your loved ones at normal times. And what I mean by that is you would see items like livestock, like ducks. You can buy ducks, sheep,
you can buy mosquito
nets. Blankets, nutrition supplements, or even health clinic like the one that Sophie had donated to, and many incredible kind of gifts that will improve or change or save the lives of the children who are in need from danger.
My goodness, so ducks and goats. Can we buy one duck or
you can buy one goat for three or two.
Right. And what is the price, or what are the price, what are the price range here? What are we talking about?
We have quite a good range, a wide range of price points. So it ranges from as little as $8 for a pair of shoes for Cambodian children, or as much as like more than 50,000 for construction, let's say for a well. Or
for example, the 72,000 health clinic.
Yes.
In Ethiopia.
What is
the most expensive gift in there that anyone can buy for who?
Okay, I think the most expensive gift is actually construction infrastructure kind of gifts, like well construction, schools, and health clinics.
Right, okay. Yep. But people don't have to buy the whole thing in entirety. They can share or they can donate in part as well.
That's
maybe you get, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 donors, and then together you pull the resources and there you go, a school built somewhere.
Yeah.
That's that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Where can we find this gift catalogue?
Okay, you can actually go to our World Vision corporate website, which is worldvision.org.sg, and you'll be able to see this gift catalogue publicity on it.
Okay.
Yeah, and also we are actually organizing a Christmas roadshow that's coming up in the month of December from the 1st to the 22nd, and you will find us at next at Serangoon and also Marina Square and Jurong Point.
Okay, and you have a Tree of Life booth there, and donors can take
either
a look at the catalogue.
Sponsor a child or buy gifts.
Right,
okay. Catalog.
Fantastic idea for Christmas, right?
Yes.
Rather than buying expensive Christmas gifts that people don't want and recycle, this is something substantial.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you can buy a gift and dedicate it to your loved ones.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, just to wrap up this segment, you know, some tips and insights from all three ladies, from Sophie and Pin Lei, you know, some top tips or advice for potential donors or people who are thinking of sponsoring a child with World Vision. What is your you know, your message to them?
Okay, I think probably two messages. Basically, I think get involved, understand where it's coming from, and as I say, I like the idea that, you know, World Vision helps everybody, regardless of religion or whatever. And next is to really go down to the place. I believe that changes me the most when I see firsthand.
Right. How things on are the ground.
Done. Yes, and how the people actually meticulously, even the Vision Fund, how they receive the funds, how it's impacted lives.
Okay, Lynette, is this something that World Vision encourages for the sponsors to meet the children that they sponsor?
Yes. Because we recognize that it's kind of hard. I mean, us living in Singapore, and then you're helping somebody in such a faraway place.
Yes.
And we want to make it special and personal for the people who are supporting.
Mm.
So we organize, we call it child sponsors trips to all 15 countries that World Vision Singapore supports. So every year, as a child sponsor, you actually get a chance to go down to the place to visit your child and to witness all the improvements that your support has enabled.
I see. Okay. And Sophie, what about you? What is your message to people who are thinking of you know, getting involved in the child sponsorship program, also any sort of programs that World Vision has put together?
Okay, actually, a lot of time I talk to my friends about charity works and things like that. I always receive three questions from them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first question is always, do you think $5 is enough? Okay, mm-hmm. I always tell them, there's no difference in the amount of $5 or $50, you see. Mm-hmm. You're donating $5, the $5 is still able to help the people that you want mm-hmm. to help. So it's not the amount that really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the other questions they always ask me, so you go to World Vision, you're Christian, right? I said, no, I'm Buddhist, okay? Mm. So I just tell them, when you try to do charity work, okay, there shouldn't be a boundary of what religions you are, what gender you are, okay, which country are you talking about, and things like that, you see? So you shouldn't have that kind of concept in mind,
okay?
But the most important thing, I always get these questions, okay, is that, you donate $100, are you sure the $100 will go to the needy?
Yes.
Okay, you know the scam things that's going on in Singapore and things like that. Okay, I always tell them, I said, okay, you donate $100. Even if the $50 that reach the person that need the help, okay, if you still save the person with the $50. Just imagine even the $50 doesn't reach there, what will happen?
Right, okay.
Right, we shouldn't look at from the point of, okay, I donate $100, the $100 have to reach there.
Okay,
it's just think in terms of even the $50 reach there, yeah, maybe saving a family, okay, or saving a kid, who knows?
Right.
Okay, you still do the things that you want to do. So I think this three message is something that I hope the people can get it. It's always the questions that I get.
And Lynette, from an institutional organizational point of view, your message to everyone out there, potential, you know, child sponsors and getting involved with World Vision.
Okay. I would say that personally, because I sponsor a child as well, and I sponsored a child even before I joined World Vision as staff. So even from a personal perspective, I've seen the powers of child sponsorship, how it has changed the life of my child. When I sponsored her, she was only three, and she was severely malnourished, and she lives in a country called Lesotho, which is in South Africa. So, and she was three then, and today she is 17 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big girl now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I visited her twice. I really count that a privilege.
Okay.
And recently one of my colleagues, a good friend, just visited her again. Oh. So I saw how she has grown, and it's amazing that she used to be doing very poorly in school. Yeah, and but now, you know, she's starting to pass exams and everything is good. And I just want to say that people may think that, you know, you can't save the whole world. And I think that is true, and I think that myself as well. But I think even though that it's a global problem and we cannot solve the entire problem, but there is something that every one of us can do. We can't help everybody, but we can help one child, one child at a time. And I do want to encourage people, Singaporeans, that during this Christmas season, to consider the needs of the children who are in lack. So come to our website, sponsor a child, come with us to the field to see how World Vision is managing the projects, and if you want to think about buying a meaningful Christmas gift, for somebody who is in need, visit our gift catalog.
Fantastic. And we'll end there with that message from World Vision. And this has been Need to Know on 938 Live with me, Janice Teo. Thanks for listening.